Man, we appreciate you, Brother Dean.
Come on. You guys having fun?
Yeah.
Are you having fun?
Yeah.
And you're not committing sin? Oh, you can have fun without sinning, you know.
Yeah.
That's good. We've been having a lot of fun, but I get to punch you in the gut. I love it. I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk about sin. Hebrews chapter 11. And then open your little books there, your camper books, to Tuesday afternoon preaching. Sinning starts early, so you can fill in the blanks there. At the top of that page is a verse, Psalm 58, verse 3. Psalm 58, verse 3. It says, "The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies." The truth is, I'm looking at a bunch of sinners. And I'm a sinner. The truth is, the moment that we're capable of sinning, we will sin. Because that's our nature, to sin. As soon as we're able to, we'll do whatever wicked thing we can think of. Sin came into the world early on through Adam. He was created by God to serve the Lord, obey the Lord, and he rebelled against God. In fact, he chose his wife and his own way over God and God's way. You know, Adam fell from a great height when he sinned that day in the garden. I mean, Adam was made in innocence. He'd never sinned. There was no sin in the world. Adam fell from such a great height. But I'll tell you, everyone in here is already fallen. We have a fallen nature. Adam went from way up here to way down here. But we're born down here. We're born fallen sinners because of Adam. We have his nature. We're born with a sin nature. And you know, it's only a matter of time when just a newborn baby will show you what kind of a sinner it is. Babies cry. They know that they have an immediate response to their crying. I mean, babies need to be fed. Babies need to be cuddled. Babies need to be put new nappies on and kept dry. And they need that because they're dependent. That's the needs that they have. But they find out real quick that when they cry, they can manipulate mom and dad into jumping at every little thing they want because they've learned that crying gets results. And when that baby is fed and it's been cuddled and it's dry, it's only crying because it's a little sinner and it wants your attention. I just want you to know, as you grow up, you're going to cry more and more because you want things done your way because you're a sinner. That's the sin nature manifesting itself. At 2 years old, they'll fight over toys. They'll bite and scratch and hit each other. Why? Because they're sinners. They're born with a sin nature. It's only growing up physically that allows them to commit greater and greater sins. At 10 years old, you steal change out of your mama's purse. And at 16, you're stealing cars and you're making babies. Why? Because you're able to do it. You're physically able to do these sins. But you were born that way. You were born with a sin nature. Now, does that mean you're not responsible? No. You're responsible for every sin that you commit. But it is in your very nature to sin. In Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bibles open, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." I want you to look at one word there in verse 25, choosing. He had a choice, and he chose Christ over the world. He chose righteousness and suffering over the pleasures of sin for a season. Because I guarantee you, the sins that you're committing now, the pleasure of it is only for a season. You're going to reap what you sow. I want you to know, even at that little boy's young age, if he keeps going and he goes away from God and continues on his path, he's going to commit more and more sin and greater sin. And some of you are doing it right now. God is not mocked. You know the verse. If I asked probably everybody in here, they know Galatians 6, 7. But you can memorize all the verses you want, but until you believe it, it won't mean anything. You can have a ton of verses memorized, but until they get from here down to here, they don't mean anything. Give me one teenager that lives that verse out, and you can have the other 100 that have it all memorized up here in the head. That's what changes you. You're a sinner, and I'm a sinner. And we commit sin, and it starts real early. Jacob was a lying, conniving, deceiving, and rebellious son. His arm wasn't twisted at him and his mother concocted following through on that plan to deceive Isaac. He went along with it. Jacob needed to be converted. And it wasn't until he was broken and humbled and wanting to be converted, wanting only God, that he was changed. And his name was called Israel. Jacob came out of the womb clutching the heel of his brother Esau. And now we know that it was just a view of the things to come. Esau didn't just sell the birthright. He despised it. He took the holy things of God and profaned them and made them common. And he placed no value on it. You better place value on the things of God. Amen. You better place a high value on the good things of God. He laid it all out there on the altar of flesh so he could have a bowl of beans. You better be careful what you sell your purity for. You better be careful when you sin, what you're giving up, what you're giving away. Teenagers are at an age where they have the fullest capacity to commit the most wicked sins imaginable. Turn to Genesis chapter 6. In Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 5, the Bible says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." The wickedness of man was great. Is that just talking about men? No, it's talking about mankind. It's talking about boys and girls and men and women. God couldn't find anyone on his earth that wasn't wicked in their thoughts. I'm talking about teenagers and little boys and girls that think wicked thoughts and doing sinful things. Now, God wiped out all flesh with a worldwide flood, didn't he? He wiped out all that could breathe, the air, everything was wiped out by that flood. None could be found not guilty. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. We're all sinners. Now Noah and his family went on the ark. Was Noah a sinner? Yes, he was. But he believed God. That's what we have to do. Because as sinners, we need to believe in Jesus Christ to take away our sins. Noah got into the ark and was saved from the judgment. You better get into the ark, Jesus Christ, and be saved from the judgment that's on you if you're not saved here today. Sin starts early on. So let's pray before, then we'll get into the message here. Father, it's always sobering to talk about sin because we know what it cost you. You paid for our sin on the cross. Your son did that for us. And so, Father, I pray that we get sobered up here. We start thinking about why we're at camp, and that's to get right with you. I pray we have all the fun we can, but I pray that we get right with God, because it won't mean anything unless we do. So, Father, teach us today. Teach us about sin and how to get right. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, parents, today the world is nothing but a playground for your kids. Just a big playground, big sin playground. And I guess if you don't raise them, the world will. So we have to put the reins on them and rein them in. We have to restrain our children. It's up to the parents to bring them to the Lord through instruction and correction in their lives. If we fail to restrain them, thinking that everything's going to turn out okay, I can tell you right now, you're a fool. Because that kid could grow up with a moral compass in his heart, in a sense, and want to do what's right, and maybe do right, and grow up and have a family, and maybe someday retire, and he just lives a good life, and he'll split hell wide open, because he needs to be brought to Jesus Christ and be saved. We're not talking about just having good kids. We're talking about getting them saved. Talking about getting them saved. We're to direct our children to God so that they're saved and their lives don't just glorify them by being good. It glorifies God. Because that's why we were created, for His pleasure. That's why you're here. You're created for His pleasure, and so am I. Psalm 127:3 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward." And so I think God expects a dividend. When He gives us a gift of children, I think He expects something in return, a recompense, a reward, godly children. Now Jacob, his name means supplanter, one who trips up another person, one who undermines another person for their own benefit, you see. We've all done that, haven't we? Deceive somebody. It's like running in a race, and you're running good, and you're in the lead, and all of a sudden this faster guy comes up alongside you, and he passes you, and what do? Trip him. Boom, right on past him and break the tape. You're a Jacob. You just tripped up that person for your own benefit. That's exactly what Jacob did all through his life. Tripping people up. He's a heel grabber. Trying to get something for himself. And someone else had to suffer for it. Jacob defrauded Esau out of his birthright. Now, I know he bought it, but it wasn't his to sell anyway. Esau shouldn't have sold his birthright. I don't know about this selling of birthrights. He took it. He took it with a bowl of beans. With just a bowl of beans. He took something that wasn't his. The Bible says that Jacob said, "Sell me thy birthright." And Esau sold it to him. Jacob wanted it, and he took it from his brother. Now, I want you to think about something. Your first fill in there is, it is our nature to sin. In your books there, fill it in. It is our nature to sin. It's the part of us that we receive from our Father. In our very soul, it is our nature to sin. What do you find on apple trees? Apples. What do you find on orange trees? Oranges. What's in our nature? Sin. That's what's in there. And you don't have a chance without Jesus Christ. We don't stand a chance. We need a new nature. I need some volunteers. Seven, real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. All right? Psalm 51:5. Right here. No, sit down. Psalm 51:5. Psalm 51:5, Romans 5:12, Romans 5:12, Ephesians 2:3. There, Donald, look at me. Hello. Ephesians 2, verse 3. Who else had their hand up? I called on 2 Peter 1:4. Job 14:4. Who else raised their hand? I need two more. Romans 3:23. 1 John 1:10. Everybody get their scriptures. Are you ready? Psalm 51:5. What does it say? Stand up, nice and loud. Psalm 51:5. I'm sorry. Did I say 10? Psalm 51:5.
Did my mother convince me?
Conceive me. Amen. David said, I was shapen in iniquity. I was made in sin. I was born a sinner. Why? His parents. He received a sin nature from his parents. He was born, conceived with a sin nature. Romans 5:12. Who was the one man that sinned that death came into the world? Who was the first man that sinned? Adam, that's right. Adam. So we die because we inherit sin. That's why we physically die. That's our nature to sin. And we got it from Adam. What do we need? We need the second Adam. We need Jesus Christ. Remember these things that I'm telling you. Ephesians 2:3. Is that Ephesians 2:3? Okay. It's not from my let me read that. I want to get to the what I'm looking at here. Ephesians 2:3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So again, we see it's in our nature. It's in our parents. It's in their fathers and in his father. It is our very nature to sin. 2 Peter 1:4. Who has that? Go ahead, Lord. It's talking about another nature, isn't it? It's talking about a divine nature. That's what we need. We need to be partakers of the divine nature. And when we get saved, that's the nature that we can partake of. It's the same as if I had a lot of people come up here and had an apple pie here and you all sat around it and you all started eating out of it, you'd all be eating out of the same pie. You see? You'd all be eating apple pie. Well, when you get saved, you partake of a new nature. We need that new nature. Job 14:4, what does it say?
Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean not?
Out of an unclean thing. No, not one. What do sinners produce?
Sin.
More sinners. That's right. And they produce sin. We're born that way. Everyone is. All right, two more. Romans 3:23. How many have sinned?
All.
Oh. So look around. Look around. Who's sitting next to you?
All.
Sinners. We're all looking at all sinners. That's what we are. Okay? 1 John 1:10. Last one.
Shh.
That's right. If we say we have not sinned, who do we make a liar? Anybody want to call God a liar? No. We're sinners. We got that point now? We understand that? We've all sinned. Our tendency is away from God. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs. That's the way we're going to go unless we take the road back by the cross of Jesus Christ. We are going to go down the path of sin. Proverbs 22. In verse 6 it says, Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child in the way he should go. A child, you see. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. You don't wait until they're teenagers. You need to be brought up as a child in the ways of the Lord, taught and instructed in the ways of the Lord. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of what? A child. In a child, there's foolishness. There's sin. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. They say it's better to form a character than to reform it. Wouldn't it be better to form the character instead of having them in jails and correction centers trying to reform them? That's why the rod of correction shall drive that foolishness far from them. Turn to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Y'all know the prodigal son? Look at verse 18. Luke 15, verse 18. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Look at verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. This is a son talking to his father, saying, I've sinned against you. Sin starts early. The prodigal son realized his personal sin and personal accountability to his father at a very young age. Now you need to realize your accountability to God and your parents as sinners. Things that you do that are affront to God. And it starts right here in your heart. Sinning starts as early as you can lie and steal and disobey. As soon as you're able to do it. Sometimes you think about it, but you can't do it. You'd like to steal the sunglasses in the pharmacy. Or you'd like to clip something off the shelf, maybe a candy bar. Or maybe you're just not ready yet, but it's right there in your heart. Because you're sinners. So am I. And without Christ, we're going to go to hell and we deserve it. But we need Jesus Christ to forgive us of our sins. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You know, most people don't like to hear this. Who wants to hear about how sinful they are? But we are. Might as well get the truth, right? So we can deal with the truth. We're in bad shape. If we haven't gotten saved, we're in real bad shape. But if we're saved and we're sinning, we're in bad shape too. Because the wages of sin is still death, whether you're saved or unsaved. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. You see, that's talking about young people. We sin early. Paul's telling Timothy, flee those youthful lusts. Get away from those things. We need to be born again. Because our first physical birth was not enough. We're sitting here, we're alive physically, but we need to be born again. We'll die and go to hell because we're born sinners. And Ephesians 2, verse 1 tells us that. You have the quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. God can make you alive. God can save you. And that's what we need. We need to be quickened and made alive. Jacob's sins come out of his sinful nature. His heart is the next fill-in. Out of his heart. Who wants to tell me Jeremiah 17:9? Who knows it? Jeremiah 17:9. It's your memory verse. There. You thought you knew it. Who could know it? Right in the depths of our heart and our very soul is where this sin is, this sin nature. So Jacob's sins came out of his sinful nature, out of his heart is your fill-in heart. But you have to have a personal realization of this, that you will steal, you will lie, you will do things that are against mom and dad and against God. You'll deceive people. And it comes out of your heart. You're accountable for that. You're responsible. No one else is making you sin. You're doing it. Stealing. He stole his brother's birthright, his blessing. And he lied and deceived to his very father. And isn't that the same with us? The next thing is Jacob's beginnings of sinning is the next fill-in. Jacob's beginnings of sinning. Turn to Genesis 25. Genesis 25. Genesis 25 and in verse 31. Genesis 25:31 says, "And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." He despised it. That was one expensive bowl of lentils, because he gave up the double portion of his father's inheritance. A birthright was sold. You know, Rebekah, the mother, she knew the two nations were in her womb and that the elder would serve the younger. She knew that. And she shouldn't have tried to help God out. You know, God can take care of things God's way. But I think that was in the back of her mind that she had to help God out when she knew that Isaac was going to bless Esau. Now, Esau was a man that was ruled by the flesh, but Jacob was a deceiver of the highest order. He was a deceiver. God knew all about what was going to take place. Nevertheless, Jacob took what was by birth to be Esau's on his own will. God still worked his will, though, through the most dishonest acts imaginable. God still worked his own will out through all that. You know, it says Esau, since he sold his birthright for a very cheap price. It was a fleshly decision that he made. And we do that all the time. We make decisions based on what we want, based on the immediate, based on the temporary, what I can get right now. And we don't see that down the road we're going to reap what we've sown. Esau reaped hard what he sowed. Jacob should have given his brother the food. Shouldn't he? Shouldn't he have just given him the food? It's his brother. But instead he used it as a way to get what he wanted. What a deceiver. What a supplanter. He should have just gave him the food. Jacob's heart was wicked at such a young age. You better believe that your heart is just as wicked and deceitful too. You know, if your mother came home, and maybe she does waitressing or serves tables, and she gets tips. Now, in America, they give these tips. My mother used to come home after waitressing with an apron full of money, full of change. And as a young boy, I remember going in when my mother was sleeping and stealing change out of that apron. You know why? So I could get away with it. She hadn't counted it yet. Just thinking about it makes me sick to my stomach now. My mother went out and worked hard for that money. I dipped my hand in there. You could take a handful out. There'd be $5-6 in my hand. And now I think about it, how wicked that is. But you'd do the same thing if you could get away with it. You know why? Because you're a sinner. Because that's what's in your heart. Your heart is deceitful and it's wicked. And don't you ever trust your heart. Unless the Bible's gone from here down into here, and you're working on the Bible, not on your heart. Because your heart is wicked and deceitful. Who can know it? God knows it. God sees everything. And Hebrews 4:13 tells us the Bible actually can look into your heart when you read it. That's how quick and powerful it is. It gets right into your heart. And your whole life is open and naked unto Him with whom we have to do. You see that sign there? If you can't see that sign, you need my glasses real bad. You see how easy it is to read that sign? That's how God reads your heart. You don't even know what's in your heart. God does. God can look right in your heart, and He sees what's in there, just like you can see that sign, just as plain as day. Turn to Genesis 27, just over. Just point out some verses here. You know, they went to great lengths, him and his mother, Jacob and his mother, to pass himself off as Esau. It says in verse 15, "And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, 27:15, which were with her in the house, and put them upon Jacob her son. And then she put skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck. And she made him a little bowl of savory meat." They went to great lengths to pass himself off as Esau. Imagine mommy dressing up little Jacob there. Well, not little Jacob, but dressing him up in Esau's clothes and putting all these skins on his neck and on his hands. What deception to her husband and to his father. I'll tell you, the original sin, taking what was not his, has continued into stealing the blessing of the firstborn. He lied to his father willingly and deliberately. And you'll see that in verse 19 and in verse 20. He's plainly asked, "Is this my son, Esau?" "Yes, it's me. I am." He deliberately lies to his father. Sin just brings more sin and more sin and more sin. Now the heart, the next fill in there, the heart is where sin begins. It begins in your heart. The heart is where sin begins. Let me just read a couple of these to you. Matthew chapter 15, turn there. Matthew chapter 15. Look what it says. Matthew chapter 15, verse 18. "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies." You see that? It comes out of your heart. Sin defiles you. It makes you dirty. It makes you unclean. It pollutes you on the inside. And look at Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21 says this. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders," and it goes on, "thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit," and on and on and on it goes. That's all that's in our hearts. The heart is where the sin begins. You need to run from this sin. You need to run from it like you're running from a fire, because you are. The fire of hell. You keep going the way you are and you're not saved, you're going to go to hell. You know, I don't want to see that happen. And if you're a Christian, you better turn around too. The heart is where sin must be dealt with, is the next fill-in. The heart is where sin must be dealt with. Now, turn to Proverbs 20, verse 9. Just got a few more verses here. Proverbs chapter 20 and in verse 9. Look what it says. You need to deal with this sin. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, look what it says. "Who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Who could say that? None of us. We can't do it on our own. We can't do it. Turn to Psalm 51:10 now. Just turn back to Psalm 51. Psalm 51:10 says this. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Who can create a clean heart in you? God. You can't do it. You must go to God to get your heart cleaned up. And the heart is what must be dealt with. We need our heart cleaned by God. But we have to go there humbly. I can't do it. Who can make themselves pure? None of us can. We have to go to God. Be willing to go to God and let Him cleanse you and forgive you and save you if that's what need be. And finally, we want the blessings, is the last fill-in. We want the blessings of God on our lives. Look at Psalm 73, verse 1. Psalm 73. Psalm 73 and verse 1. "Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart." Isn't that wonderful? Now, God is good to a lot of people. God makes it rain on the unsaved man's fields as well as the saved man's fields. But the saved man can look up and say, "Thank you, Lord," out of a pure heart. "Thank you, Lord, for the rain," where the other person doesn't care. Get your heart right, Christian, so you can start thanking God for all the good things that He's doing in your life, teenager, young person. Don't take it for granted. Clean your heart up and you'll realize how good God is to us. He is really good to us. Back to Psalm 24. Psalm 24. Verse 3, who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity or sworn deceitfully. Wonder who he had on his mind then. You can't go to a holy place with unclean hands and wicked sin in our hearts. We go there to get clean, not to worship. We need to get clean first before we worship. Last verse, 1 Peter chapter 1. Last verse, 1 Peter chapter 1. Matthew 5:8 talks about, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart. And 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. 1 Peter chapter 1, and in verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart, fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. If you're here today and you have a heart full of sin, you're no different than anyone else, but you need to be saved. If you've never been saved, that's what you need. You need to be born again. I got born again 20 years ago, and now I'm forgiven for all my sins. The penalty was paid at the cross by the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to have a pure heart. The only way to do that is to go to the cross and be saved. None of us can say that we're not sinners. We all sin. We were born that way. The question is, have you been saved from the penalty of your sins? Or are you still lost? If you are, you're going to pay for the penalty of your sin. The wages of sin is death, and you'll be cast into hell forever. I don't want to see that happen, and you certainly shouldn't want to see that happen. But I'm also speaking to Christians. If you're away from God, you better realize God is not mocked. Believe it. God will not be mocked. The wages of sin is death. You are shortening your life. You are defiling yourself. And you need to get right with God. You need to come back to the Lord and repent. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's not easy to talk about, but it needs to be talked about. We need to come face to face with the fact of what we really are inside. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd move in the hearts of these young people, because they need their sins forgiven too. They need to worship you out of a pure heart. So I pray, Father, as this week progresses, that they'd begin to look inside, not out at everybody else, but to look inside. Jacob needed to look inside. So I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd move in such a way that they would be moved to look into their own hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit and see their need, whether they're backslidden, whether they're right with God, or whether they need to be saved. Father, please glorify yourself in that way, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
So when did you...